ask my preaching brethren if they have anything upon their hearts this morning they feel like they need to say. If not, we're going to go on and try to say that what the Lord has laid upon our hearts for this morning. Would like for you to continue in your prayers with us, that the Lord would just have his way with us this morning. We just want to do the Lord's will. We just want the word to go out and for the Lord to be behind it and to have its effect for that which the Lord sees fit to be done. This morning as we go, if you turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs. 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read the first three verses there. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Solomon, being the writer here, he was writing. He said, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And I feel the need this morning that our main focus would be on that third verse. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, I believe what that meant and what wise man Solomon was saying there is that the Lord has an all-seeing eye. I believe that the Lord sees everything that happens. And I believe, as what the Bible says, you know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that he knows the numbers of the stars, and he calls every one of them by name. And we also read in the book of Matthew that even the very grains of hair that we have on our head are numbered by the Lord. So we see this. How we see the Lord sees and knows everything. Matter of fact, there's not anything that goes undone that God does not see happen. And I believe this morning, I've said this the last couple of times too, this whole COVID virus that's going around, whether you believe it was made by nature, whether you believe it was made by man, I believe the Lord allowed it to happen. And I believe the Lord allowed it to appear for some reason. And it's not up to us to understand the reasoning and behind everything. But you see, I believe that there's at least a couple things that God cannot see. And with the Lord's help, we want to get to this point. I believe that there's some things that God cannot see. I believe that God cannot see a soul that he cannot save. I believe in this world that we live in today, individuals that roam around, you know, I believe in the book of Genesis, when God created man, it said, "And through his nostrils, man breathed in the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I believe what that means is that there's two beings to a man, and each and every human being has these two beings. One being the outward being, the carnal being, the fleshly being, the one that we can see with our eyes, and the other being the spiritual being of man. Now, we read in Genesis how when God created the heavens and the earth, the Lord stepped back and he looked and he said, "It is good. Everything's good." You know, at one point in time, I believe that this world did not have sin in it. But I believe with what happened with Adam, how he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then sin entered into the world. And we read and we understand these things, that everything that happens and has come to pass, all the evilness of mankind that shows the sickness, the death that we see, it's all because of sin. Now, we also read, and I'll say this too, and you can get upset at me, and that's okay, but I believe that each and every one of us, when we're born into this world, we are born sinners in the eyes of God. We read in the 51st chapter of Psalms how David was, I believe he was praying there, and he said, "In sin my mother conceived me." I believe that means that when we are born, we are born into sin. But when we die, we also die sinning as well. You know, the two sides of man that we just spoke about, this fleshly being, this outward being, on a daily basis is going to continue to sin until the day that we die. But I believe that God wants to deal with that inward being of man. And I believe that God can save that inward being of man. And I believe as the church, it's not for us to judge a man by his outward appearance, but we need to see and pray that God deals with them on the inward man. You know, we see these people who roam around, and I've seen people come to churches, tattoos all over their body. I've seen people come in, didn't know how to quite dress. And let me tell you what, I believe in come as you are, okay? But I want to say this too, after you're saved, and I believe this, we need to pay our respect in the house of God. And I believe this today, and I didn't know I was going to touch on this, but just pray for us. But today, when we're talking about clothing, the church is losing the battle of modest apparel, okay? There's these, and let me tell you what, ladies, I don't want to see everything that you got, okay? The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus how the nakedness is meant for the husband and the wife, not meant for anything else. I believe that when it comes to the house of God, we need to have enough respect for God to dress in an appropriate manner. But I believe today, though, too, as a sinner and lost, and they don't know no difference, but that's okay. Just come as you are. Just come as you are. Because the most important thing is getting that inward being set right with God. The most important thing is making sure that God deals with that inward being. And I believe that God cannot see a soul that he cannot save. I believe this. I believe if God can save a murderer like Saul, somebody who he considered, who Paul even said, "I am the chiefest of sinners." Folks, I tell you, if God can save the chief, he can save anybody. If God can save the chiefest of sinners, he can save all the other Indians that's in the tribe. There's not a soul that God cannot reach down and save. Don't ever think that you're too far to be saved by God. Because I believe that God has an amazing grace that we so sing about. I believe even in the book of Psalms, when one of the writers, he was saying how God reached down in the miry pit, that miry clay, he reached way down and he set his feet upon a rock. I believe when we're saved by the grace of God, our feet are set upon a good solid foundation, and that being Jesus Christ himself. Now, we see here, and we also read in the Bible how John in the first chapter, he was there by the river of Jordan baptizing people, and he looked up one day and he saw Jesus coming down. And you know what he said? He said, "Behold, who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I want to have a big emphasis on that. He just said the sin of the world. He didn't say sins. He didn't mean multiple. He just said the sin. What sin? The sin that we're born into. The sin that Adam caused. I believe that there's theologians out there, they say the Adamic sin. And you know, it's the sin of the world. And Jesus came here to take that away. But I believe this too. When we're saved by the grace of God, you don't escape the hands of death. We still have to witness that man known as death. But I tell you, Lord, when you're saved by the grace of God, there is life after death. There is life continuing after death. You know, I believe this, that God, that Jesus, you know what? When he looked at his disciples one day before he ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I believe this, that he's still preparing that place. But you know, I believe that for those who have been saved, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not just perish in this life, but if you die lost and separated from God, then you'll be thrown, the Bible says, casted into a devil's hell. That's the true perishing that'll happen. You know, Bible says also in the third chapter, I believe it's after that, that Jesus said that God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe, that the world through him might be saved. But he said, he who believes not is condemned already. If you're lost and separated from God right now, at this very moment, if you die in your sins, you're already condemned. That means you're going to a devil's hell if you die lost in that condition. And it's something to get serious about. I don't know about y'all, but I left last Sunday with a burden in my heart. With a burden to see lost people saved. Folks, I tell you, if we want to see people get saved, the church is going to have to be serious about it. The church is going to have a burden about it. We read in the 9th chapter of Romans, I think it is, how Paul, he was talking about how he had a burden for the people there that he knew in Israel. And it said that he had continual sorrow and continual strife. Having a burden, carrying a burden, it's not fun, but it's something that must be done. It's something that must need to happen. Didn't mean to get on all that, but that's okay. We're just going to try to follow the Spirit of God this morning. I tell you what, if you're lost and separated from God this morning, you know, I know we've stressed about this the last couple of times, but I tell you this, one of these days, the last sermon will be preached. The last song will be sung. The last testimony will be said, and the last prayer would have been prayed. One of these days, it's all going to come to an end. One of these days, death will come for each and every one of us. If Jesus doesn't come before then. One of these days, you're going to walk out of these church doors one last time. And we don't know when that time is. The Bible says that God hath appointed a day for all to be judged. You know, it's just like going out to the store and getting a gallon of milk. It's got an expiration date on it. Each and every single one of us, we all have an expiration date on each and every one of us. We don't know when it comes and it's time to expire and time to die. But I'll tell you this, you need to be ready for it. You need to make preparations now. Because one of these days you'll walk out of that church door one last time. And you might tell the Lord, "Lord, I'll do it next Sunday." But next Sunday might not ever come. Same thing goes for the saved individual. Lord's put something on your heart to do. You know, I remember being running from the call to preach. How the Lord, He kept knocking on my heart to preach. I tell you what, each and every time that we met in church, I said, "Lord, I'll do it next Sunday. Lord, I'll do it next Sunday. Lord, I'll do it next Sunday." Let me tell you what. You keep making that excuse with God, next Sunday probably won't ever come. There's one Sunday, I've said this, and in my testimony of being called to preach, whenever I was running from it, you know, we were sitting there in the church house of Harmony Missionary Baptist in Nashville, Tennessee. I was sitting at the back pew, probably one where Brother Danny's sitting at right now, and I remember hearing the sound of an ambulance run by the church, and I remember the Lord saying, "If you don't own it up right now, then I'll take you out." If I didn't own it up, Brother Scott, Sunday, next Sunday wasn't going to come. We need to be serious about the work of the Lord, folks. Lost soul, you need to be serious about your soul condition. And I tell you what, it don't come just by being baptized. I tell you what, I believe in baptism just as much as the next person. But I believe that baptism has a different reason than what this world wants to teach. You know, I know of people out there who said that they've been baptized. You know, yes, they've been saved. They'll say, "Well, I've been baptized." Folks, I tell you what, if you've been baptized and you're not saved by the grace of God, you know what you just done? All you did was just took a bath. You came in dry and you came out wet. That's all you ever did. There was no meaning in behind it. But I'll tell you what, for those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, you see, baptism is the requirement to join the Lord's church. And I'll tell you what, for those of us who have been saved, when we're baptized, there's a meaning in behind that. There's a meaning in behind that water. When we got fully immersed and risen up, there's a meaning in behind that. It was a public proclamation of what the Lord had done for us on the inside. It was telling the world that I was saved, that the Lord had saved my soul, and I had risen up a new creature in Christ. And I tell you what, folks, that still needs to be taught today. The gospel has not changed one bit. You know, I was talking back in high school. I was talking to a friend of mine. He believed that baptism was the way of salvation. And I told him, and I asked him a question. I said, "Well, if you believe baptism is the way of salvation, then what about the thief on the cross? When he looked at Jesus and said, 'Lord, remember me when thou enterest into the kingdom.' And Jesus said, 'Today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" I said, "Jesus just didn't take a time out, get down off the cross and baptize him in the river of Jordan, then all of a sudden hung back up on the cross. That's not what happened." And you know what he said? He said, "Well, he was just an exception." I tell you what, there is no exceptions. You've got to come the same. If you want to be saved by the grace of God, you have to come the same way that I came. And that was with a broken heart and a broken spirit, knowing that where I stood, knowing that I was lost and separated from God, convicted of my sins, knowing that if I died and lost and separated from God, that hell would be where I would spend all of eternity. You would have to come in that same condition. And that condition has not changed, because there is no exceptions when it comes to salvation. Now, we read in the book of Acts talking about baptism. We read somewhere in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, in the 35th verse, when there was an Ethiopian eunuch that had approached Peter there. And you know, and then Philip, and it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began to the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know what hinders for people to be baptized? They're not saved by the grace of God. That is the only hindrance of baptism. Folks, I tell you, we need to be strong on that doctrine. We need to be strong on the Word of God, because we need to make sure that whatever comes out from behind this pulpit is nothing but sound and can be backed up by the Word of God. And the doctrine that baptism is salvation cannot be backed up 100%. Not at all. But folks, I tell you this. When it comes to salvation, and as we've said many times, when it comes to salvation, it is having that personal one-on-one experience with God Himself. It is knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that when you leave this life, you'll be in a better place. In heaven, as the Bible calls it. Paradise, as what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. You know what? We read in the 17th chapter of John, in the 3rd verse, and it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. And underline that part. Because Jesus even prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that people would know Him. That people would know Him, would be saved by His grace. Folks, we also read in the 1 Timothy, in the 1st chapter, that Paul was writing to the young preacher. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to this world. Let me get back there. I don't want to mispronounce it. He said, but that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, that's a term that's not real popular with the folks of the world today. Sinner. Well, now, preacher, you don't need to be calling me a sinner. I tell you what, we are all sinners in the eyes of God. When you're saved by the grace of God, you know what that just makes you? Just a sinner saved by His grace. Because we, with this flesh, sin daily. What did Paul say? He said the flesh just dies daily, but the Spirit is renewed daily. And I also believe, for one, that you can't lose salvation. I believe that the book of Hebrews, Paul was telling us that Jesus came and He made one sacrifice. That one sacrifice was all, it was good enough. I tell you what, before the end, the people of Israel, when they went to make sacrifices, there were certain animals that they had to sacrifice for certain sins, and that was done, and they didn't have to do it for 1 year. And then the next year, they had to go and do the same sacrifice. You know what they were doing? They were just putting their sins on layaway. That's what I like to call it. They just put it on layaway. Each and every year, they just had to go back and do it again, make the same sacrifice. But I tell you what, when Jesus saves your soul, it's good enough. And you don't have to do it again. You don't have to go back again. I'll tell you this, though, when you are saved by the grace of God and you go out in this world and fulfill the fleshly desires of the lustful desires of the flesh and go out and want to hold hands with Satan instead of holding hands with God, you lose the joy of your salvation. And I believe that's what David was saying in the 51st chapter of Psalm as well. Once again, I believe that he was praying. And as was David was praying there to the Lord, you know, we read that David, I believe David was a mighty king. He was a mighty man of God. But I tell you what, David was like every one of us. He was just flesh and bone. And I tell you this, when David was there on the rooftop and he saw Bathsheba right across from him, naked and just bathing, I tell you what, I believe that Satan crept in there and he got the best of him. So he lost it, went with Bathsheba, killed his committed murderer, killed Uriah, put him on the front line there to make sure that he was killed. I believe David lost the joy of his salvation at some point in time. I believe David strayed away from God at some point in time. And I believe that if we're not careful and we don't watch it, the children of God will lose their joy of their salvation as well. And let me tell you what, I've been in the position where I've lost the joy of my salvation, and it's not fun. Because then you're in a confused state. I was, anyways, wondering if I was saved at all. It's not fun. Folks, if you're saved by His grace and you've strayed away, let me tell you what, we put emphasis on this altar for all souls to come and seek after God, but I believe it's a good place for saved sinners to come and seek after God themselves. And by the way, if we want to see this mourner's bench filled up with sinners repenting of their sins, it's got to start with the church being down on their hands and knees, repenting as well. It's got to start with us getting right with God as well. Didn't mean to stray away to any of this, but we just want to do what the Lord has laid upon our hearts and preach that. But I tell you what, I believe this, you know, as what was already said, I believe that the Lord cannot see a soul that He cannot save. And I believe that the Lord cannot see a situation. I believe that the Lord does not see a situation and He does not listen to His people. He does. You know, we read in the book of Isaiah how God was telling the people, God was telling the prophet Isaiah there, He was saying how my ears isn't anywhere I could hear, my arm is not shortened where I cannot reach. Folks, I tell you what, I believe today that God hears prayers. But I believe that before we pray, you know, sometimes there's times when I pray to God and I don't feel like that they've got above my head. You know the reason why is because of that? Because my heart wasn't set upon what I was trying to pray over. My heart was set upon the things that was in the world, the things that were distracting me. And whenever they became a distraction, I saw my prayer life becoming really, really unhealthy. And folks, I tell you what, you're saved by the grace of God, and you have an unhealthy prayer life, it will show. If you're a preacher and you got an unhealthy prayer life, it will show. It will show. The book of Matthew, when Jesus was teaching on prayer, you know what He said? He that sees his father in secret, he shall reward him openly. There's been times I've stepped up in the pulpit and I fell flat on my face. There's been times I stepped up in the pulpit and I didn't have God right by my side. You know why that was? Because I didn't take the time out to pray during that week. I didn't take the time out to pray and to see what God needs done. Folks, we want to see some wonderful services come in. But you know, I tell you what, if we want to see a revival to break out here at Friendship Church, it needs to start with us getting our heart and mind right with God ourselves and getting our prayer life in order. We want to see these lost souls come up and get saved. Be serious about it.
You know, we read in the book of Proverbs, I believe it was the 29th chapter, if I'm not wrong. But Solomon was saying, where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, I tell you what, we need to have a vision of these lost souls dying. We need to have a vision of a devil's hell. Folks, we need to have a vision because we need to be serious. You can go on and say that you're serious. What did James say? He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So you can go on and say that you're serious. But if you're not working like you're serious, then some might have to question that. We might say that we came here to serve God. But if we don't act like and we don't work like we came here to serve God, then that might need to be put into question. I'll show you my faith by my works. Not just working in the church house, but working out there as well, in the world. Talking about letting our light so shine. We need to let our light so shine out there just as well as we want it to shine in here. Sister Rachel, get us a song, please. My thoughts have left me. I'm done. And I hope and pray somebody got something out of this, but I above all pray that the Lord was just lifted up for a few moments of time. And let us all stand and sing, too, when we're singing this song. And let's just think about the things that were said.
Turn to page